preached on those 12 verses about 3 months ago, and I don't have anything new to say about them. So, I'd like to start in verse 14 and talk to you about faith. I wonder if you hold yourself to be a person of faith, by the way. Sometimes that can be a question that gnaws at your soul. Somebody says, "Do you have faith? Or are you a person of faith? Or do you believe?" And again, if you're a searching person, if you look in your heart and you're conscious of what's in there, you probably say, "I am a person of faith," confidently, but you might feel less confidently when you look in your heart. It's like, well, what does it mean really to believe? I mean, do I really believe? I mean, you could be in a hospital room and people come in like me and pray for you, and somebody might ask you, "Do you believe?" I mean, you know about divine healing. But you question whether I really have the faith, and if I had faith, would I be here? You can question whether you have faith. You can be a woman who's gone through a divorce, and there you are with your kids and ready to begin your life again some years later, and you certainly would like to have a guy in your life, and you think, the Lord says, "Knock and it shall be opened," and I'm going to knock for a man, and you knock for months and years, and crosses your mind. I wonder if it's about faith. Maybe I don't have the faith that I need. Again, you can be a man, and you get a 60-day notice. You're going to lose your job, and you don't have a clue of how you're going to support your family. And again, you know the Bible. The Bible says if you have the grain of faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And at some point, as you're praying, you ask yourself, "Is it really about my faith? Do I really have the faith that the Bible says I ought to have?" So James is talking to us about that question. He wants to reaffirm for you and I of what faith is and get us to a place where we can have confidence that we are people of faith. So in verse 14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'Oh, you have faith and I have works.' Well, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, James is talking to us about what faith is, what biblical faith is, what saving faith is, you could put it that way, or what pleasing to God faith would be. And notice he tells us what faith is not. In verse 19, he says, "Whatever the demons have, that's not faith." 19, he says, "The demons believe and tremble." But that's not faith. And so think of the two things there. The demons believe. You can believe but not have faith. The demons know and have experience. If you believe demons are, you know, there's a great debate over demons. Are they eternal? I mean, are the demons that were around when Jesus was around on earth still alive? Do demons die? I don't know that the Bible addresses that, but I would assume, at least in my mind, that there are demons that are alive today or active today that was there when Jesus did the miracles. I think demons are well aware of what's going on in the spirit realm. And so, again, I saw a poll the other day that said they polled Christians, and 78% of Christians believe that God is all-knowing and all-powerful. 78% of people who claim to be Christians, I should say, believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. If you took that poll in hell, it wouldn't be 78%, it'd be 100%. They know God is all-knowing and all-powerful. They believe. There's nothing that is in the Bible that probably many of them, if they are, in fact, at least semi-eternal beings, did not experience. They don't have a problem with Jesus being the Son of God. They don't have a problem with Jesus dying for sins. They don't have a problem with Jesus being resurrected. They know it all. They believe it all. They might have even been there when it happened. So they believe. And so when we talk about faith, we can't then talk about, I believe. I mean, if you ask a person, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah. Do you believe that he died for the sins of the world? Yeah. Do you believe he was resurrected? I mean, your theology can be perfect, but that's not what the Bible is talking about when it says faith. That's the point. But also notice that it's not simply about belief that the demons do, but it's that they believe and tremble. They have an emotional reaction to what they know. Some would say that this is belief in as opposed to on, but I don't know that that's a great semantic. But notice that what they know causes them to be stirred at a deep level emotionally. Now again, I think in the church that oftentimes passes for faith. I mean, I think if you saw a person standing there during worship and they're raising their hand and they are very emotionally moved by the truth that they hear being sung or preached, I think if you saw a person at an altar and they're kneeling and not only are they saying, I believe what the preacher said and I'm touched at a deep level, and you see the tears in their eyes, I think a lot of us would say, well, that's a person of faith. They believe and respond. They believe and tremble. And yet, again, James says, yeah, but the demons are afraid of what they know too. The demons tremble. The demons are emotionally touched by what they know. And yet, that's not faith either. The demons aren't going to heaven. The demons are bound for judgment. They're bound for condemnation. And so James says, that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about faith. It's not knowledge. It's not assenting to facts. It's not agreeing to facts. It's not being emotionally moved by those facts. But it is, he says, it is responding to the Word of God. It's reacting to the Word of God with works. And so he gives two illustrations. First of all, it's responding to the Word of God. It's action. Faith isn't, it starts in your heart, but it's not primarily just a heart thing, because it says that Abraham believed God. He believed God, and his belief caused him to go, and at least what we can tell, with the intent to sacrifice his son, because he believed God, believed what God was saying, and he believed that if he sacrificed the son, even if it got that far, God would resurrect that boy. And then it says that Rahab believed the spies. This is Jericho, I believe, and so she's a prostitute working in the city. The spies come in. They're trying to spy out the city. She's not a Jew. She's not a believer, but she believes the spies, and she helps them and helps them escape. She's a heroine in the Old Testament. So, not just believing, but acting then on what they believe. It's the action that counts as the faith. I mean, if Abraham says, you know what, I believe God's got the power to resurrect. I really do believe that he can do that, but I'm not taking my boy up the hill. That's not faith. It says faith is climbing the hill. If Rahab says, you know what, I believe what the spies are saying. I believe that God is going to destroy the city and hand it over to the Jews. And I believe that that's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. If I help these Jews, if I help them escape, I could lose my life. And a lot of terrible, terrible things could happen to me. And I would be called a spy. And I could possibly be killed. And so I believe what they're saying, and I'm for them, and I'm supportive of them, but I really can't help them. I mean, James is saying, well, that wouldn't be faith then. Faith is believing and then acting on what you believe. Now, again, it's an action caused by a reaction to the word. Abraham believed God. Later, we're told, he believes the word. Rahab believes the word of the spies. It doesn't say what the spies said, but whatever they said, she believes it. And we assume they're telling her about the destruction of the city and how God is going to move in this situation. So it's a reaction to the word. See, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, and this is important, that faith comes by the word of God. And that distinguishes faith from naivete. Faith comes through receiving a word of God and acting on it. Now, again, that's important because a lot of times people say they're having faith when they're just being stupid. A lot of times people say, man, we need to step out in faith. No, you don't step out till you get a word from the Lord. Faith comes from the word of God. Abraham had a word from the Lord. We assume that Rahab had a word from the Lord to act on. If you don't have a word from the Lord, what you're doing may very well be carnal. And in your own wisdom, and in your own pride and arrogance. That's true of me. You have to have a word from the Lord. See, faith isn't wishful thinking. I think I've told folks, I had a marvelous, marvelous friend, and he's passed on now, and I loved him dearly. But I remember a situation, I think I've told you about this, that the church he pastored split horribly. And it split horribly because he wanted to borrow about $1.5 million to build a new building. And they had a budget of maybe $200,000. I mean, he wants to borrow 7-8 times their annual income. I don't know how they were going to get the money to begin with. I don't know if they were all going to sign the over. I don't know how they were going to get that much money. But he wanted to do this and get this building built. And it got very contentious because his board was saying, we're not going to borrow $1.5 million. And finally, you know, he began to push, you just don't have faith. You don't have faith. If you had faith in what God could do, you'd borrow the money. And my heart was with him. Thank God I wasn't in that congregation. But I think his board was probably right. Because I think if I had been on the board, I would have said, well, listen, our brother, you got faith for $1.5 million. Why don't we just trust God for $5 million and not trust him for $10 million? Why stop at $1.5 million? Why not go a little higher than that? You can say, hey, we need to have faith. We need to do this. We need to trust. No, faith comes through a word spoken by the Lord of God. It comes through an instruction from God and acting on the instruction of God. Doesn't come from devising a royal plan and saying, hey, we're going to do this great ministry from the Lord. No, if you've been called to do that, then step out in faith. If you haven't been called to do it, stand still and wait on the Lord. So it comes through the word. Let me put it another way. Faith is not acting or presuming on God. It's not presuming on God. There's a lot of times when you and I might be tempted to presume on God and to make certain assumptions about how He will act. And so, for instance, we could say, well, hey, listen, he did this in the past. There's no reason to think that He's not going to do it right now. Or, he raised this person from the dead. Let's pray for this person. He'll act like he did in the past. That's presumption. That's presumption. And I think at some level we know that God is more unpredictable than that. You get into all kinds of problems when you assume that God will act the exact same way in the exact same situation. He doesn't tend to do that, and I think that we know that. You know, it's funny in our day and age, people will say, hey, God's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is very true, by the way, but you have to clarify what that passage is getting at. And then they get into a situation, and I think intuitively they know that God actually won't act like He did in the past. You know, it's funny when people will try to discern God's will. You got a teenager wondering if she's going to marry Bill or not. You know, it's like, I don't know if God wants me to marry Bill. I just don't know. I'm gonna seek the Lord. And you know, nobody ever puts out Gideon's fleece, though. Like, people can get into a situation and I need God to show me what to do. Why don't you just put out the fleece? If you believe God is the same yesterday and today, just put out the fleece. Because remember, Gideon had a problem. He puts out the fleece and he prays, Lord, if it's your will, drench the fleece and leave everything else dry around it. Of course, that's not enough for Gideon. He's not a man of faith. So he says, all right, God does that, drenches the skin, leaves the ground dry around it. He said, all right, now tomorrow night, or tonight, gets it in the morning, leave the fleece dry and drench the ground around it. And God did that. And Gideon says, well, I know what I'm supposed to do then. I get it. Why don't we assume God will do that today? I mean, well, why don't you and I, if you believe God is the same yesterday and today, God's just the same today, that He'll act just today as He did yesterday. When you have a problem, why don't you just take a blanket out there and put it in the yard? Say, you did it for Gideon. Do it again. Do it again. These actions, you can't presume that He'd do that, and you know you can't presume to do that. I know we pray for healing, and we should pray for healing. God is in the divine healing business. But strangely enough, we don't pray for God to overrun places with frogs and locusts. I mean, I've been at a river and needed to get to the other side before. It never crossed my mind to just pray that God would just part the waters. He's done that before. It crossed my mind that He would do that. I mean, we would have a lot more money if I just had to buy 5 loaves and 2 fishes every Monday and it got multiplied for the week. That'd be an easier way to go. Well, if you believe God will act today like He did then, why not pray for Him to do some of that stuff? See, I think we know it's a little trickier than that. It's a little trickier than that. And I can't assume that God's going to do it just like he did it then. He can, and oftentimes he does, but it's a theological problem if I assume that he's going to, if he hasn't said he's going to. He hasn't said it, you can't assume that he's going to do it just like he did. And so faith isn't, again, presuming. Faith isn't getting up some kind of courage and saying, oh, we're going to trust God for this. No, faith is hearing the word of God. That oftentimes comes through prayer, comes through fasting. It's being sure that God said it, and then stepping forward and acting on that, sometimes in the face of great opposition, sometimes in the face of great adversity, but acting because he said that he would do it. Now, other times we have the Bible. And God has given us, you and I, he has told us that he will act in certain ways and we can stand on what he said in the Bible. Sometimes in specific situations, we have to pray and fast and we're going to have to know that God has spoken on this issue and then stand on what we know him to be saying to us. But you know what? We have a lot of things in the Bible, again, that he has said to stand on it. It's eternal. If you're a child of mine, it's for you. And you have to do that. You know what? When you come to the Lord, let me just give you three very quick ones. When you come to the Lord, at some point, you have to put faith in what God has said. He has said that if you'll come and if you'll repent, and if you'll turn your back on the past, if you'll repent and you'll come to him, the blood of Jesus Christ can cover your sins and he'll save you. And there are times when you just have to put your faith in that. You have to believe the spoken word. You have to believe the written word that he will draw near to the humble, that he will be there. And I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to act on that, and I'm going to take him at his word, and I'm going to stand on that. When it comes to God's care for us, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I believe, talks about how he says, is not the body more than meat and something more than raiment? Body more than meat and... Ralph, do you know that one? The body's more than meat and life's more than raiment. I think it's life is more than raiment. And what he's saying is, listen, God will care for you. If he gave you a body, if he gave you a life, he can provide the food and clothing for that body. The body's more valuable than those things. If he gives you the diamond ring, he'll give you a box to put it in. And you and I have to step out and just believe that. That promise is for everybody. And faith is believing it. And not just believing it, but acting on that. Acting on that. You know a good way to act on that promise? Because I'm a preacher on a Sunday night. You can tithe. In fact, I would say, let me be judgmental on you here. I personally, looking at myself, I don't believe that I would have faith that God is going to care for me if I didn't tithe. I personally believe that. I believe that that would be a lack of faith because I've heard the word that he will provide for me. And if I don't step out on that and put the money in, I'm saying, I don't think he'll do it. I think I'm going to starve without the other 10%. Because I think it's an act of faith. I think you can believe because you've seen it, but you have to step out on that. And again, the way you do that is you give to the poor. You support the work of God. It's an act of faith. And you know, that ought to come easy, by the way. My pop, I remember him saying once, and he's true. He said, I've never heard of a man having to move to a smaller house because he gave to the Lord. Do you know of anybody who had to sell their house and move into a smaller house because they gave money to the Lord? Do you know of anybody in the world I'm trying to think who drove a really nice car and they started tithing and they had to sell that car and get a 2007 Corolla. Do you know anybody who had to downsize when they started giving to the Lord? I don't know. They might be out there. I don't know if anybody who had to change their lifestyle because they started giving to the Lord. The Lord just has a way of providing. Yes. If you'll step out in faith. If you'll step out in faith. Another one. And it's easier for me to say this. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to read it from the Bible. So you know this isn't me. We can have faith to trust Him when it's our time to die. We can trust Him to save us. We can trust Him to provide for our needs. We can trust Him to either raise us from the dead, we can trust Him to raise us from the deathbed, or we can trust Him on the other side. I was reading through the book of Hebrews, and it just struck me because Hebrews is sort of the hall of fame of the faith. And there's a couple guys. I like verse 21 and 22 and then 35. It says in verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons and worshiped leaning on top of a staff. You see, it's crazy. Jacob, when he was dying, I don't know if he died on the staff and just plopped, or maybe it's talking about when he was very sick and he was almost dying. But Jacob is dying. This is it. And it says, even while he was dying, he called all of his sons together, blessed them, loved them, told them that life would be good to them, told them that he was proud of them, and then as best he could, propped up on a staff and worshiped the Lord. And it says, by faith at the very end, he was an optimistic man because he knew the Lord was going to take care of him. And then in verse 22 it says, and by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So here's, by faith, Joseph is dying, and it's he's just trying to take care of business because he's going on a long trip and he's going to be gone. And he wants them to all get the last instructions and he wants to be sure that his funeral works out okay. And he wants the children to know what to do when he's gone. But it says at death, he's not scared. He's not worried. But he has faith in that moment. One more, verse 35. Talks about people who were tortured. And in verse 35 it said, women received their dead raised to life again. So it's talking about all the great things that God has done. But then it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that's by faith. By faith, they're put up, they're potentially going to be sent into the lions' arena. The arena's there, the Colosseum. They're going to be sent to their death, and they're facing death. But it says, by faith, in the face of death, and there are different ways to die, and they're facing torture. I was talking to someone today and about airplane travel, and the last time I flew, it seemed like it was so bumpy, and we had flown down, and it was bumpy. And finally, I looked at my brother about an hour away, and I said, this is the last time we're flying. I can't take it. We're driving next time. And, you know, people will say, hey, you know, you got a much bigger chance of dying on the road than you would ever have dying in the plane. But see, there's different ways of dying. And hurling to the ground at thousands of miles an hour and dying in a ball of fire. That's different. It's different. I mean, you don't want to die any old way. I remember it being like, you know, in the national park last year, and we rounded that bend, and there was that grizzly bear. I mean, he was, I'm sure he was smaller than I remember, but he was a big bear. And, you know, I did what all the books say do. I ran, left the two guys in front. And there's my brother, my nephew's in front, and he's got a bell. He's ringing the bell. 20 feet away, he's a goner, man. It's like, and my brother's right behind him, blowing his bear whistle as loud as he could, and I just reacted. I beat it. It's like, oh, I'll pray for him. Pray for him. And then But I mean, what's crossing your mind when you're running from a bear? It's like there's a lot of different ways to die, and being mauled by a bear, it's not the way I want to leave this world. Of course, I got about, you know, 100 yards down there, and I thought, well, because by then they're throwing rocks at the bear, and they get the bear back up on the hill, and he ducks in the bushes. It's like, well, now I'm alone. But I have to go. My odds of dying just went up. I got to go back. And I repented after all that. It's the way things happen. But there's ways of dying. And these guys are facing being tortured to death. I mean, these are pros at giving you the most painful death you can have. And it says, but in that moment, by faith, they said, well, we'll get through it because there's going to be a better resurrection here in just a few minutes. By faith, the Lord can stand with you. Faith is taking the Lord at His word. If He hasn't spoken, if He hasn't given you a passage, you can't have faith because you don't have the word. You might have some stupidity and some false courage, but you don't have faith. But if He has spoken, it's stepping out and acting and living your life like what He said will come to pass. And that's the essence of faith. All right, hey, we're not going to see each other for a while. Well, hey, let me take that back. I hope to see you next week at camp meeting.